was we had discussed why Misosi Sharim builds himself off of the idea of Torah Mevi'ilu Dei Zehiru, Zehiru Suzuzus, the member of Pinchas Ben Yoyer, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, yet the Ramchal does not talk about Torah. That was what we had discussed last time. Now, the Hakdama of the Mesillas Yisharim, Beber Cholas Ha'adam Ba'olamo, our chiyuv in this world is really a synopsis of the worldview of the Ramchal. It's a very important paragraph. And the paragraph really, I think, could be summarized. We're going to go a little bit out of order. The paragraph could be summarized with the ending, which in the standard edition you have is on page Chaf Hei, and the paragraph begins, Klolo Shel Davar. So maybe towards the middle, we would say.
Not the end.
In Perek Aleph, Chovas Ha'adam Ba'olamo, Perek Aleph. Really, the thesis of the Mesillas Yisharim. So he writes, "Klalo shel davar." The klal over here, the rule over here is, "Adam lo nivra." We all know this, but I just like to first state what is Ramchal's position, where he's coming from, how he's looking at the world. Then go back and look a little bit about his formulation of how to attain it, and then finally discuss in practical terms how that's relevant in our avoda. Klolo shel davar, ha'adam lo nivra ba'avur matzava ba'olam hazeh. According to the Ramchal, I don't claim that everybody necessarily agrees with this machshava, but the sefer we're learning is Mesillas Yisharim. The rule is that a person was not created for this world, for his situation in this world. Ela ba'avur matzava ba'olam haba. Ela. He says this world is really not significant. We're going to see in a moment why he assumes that this world is not significant. El shematzava ba'olam hazeh, this world, huemtza'i, is a medium, lematzava ba'olam haba, to what his situation will be in olam haba. Shu'a tachlisi, that's the goal. Alken timtza b'marei chazal rabim, and that's why you'll find many mamarei chazal, kulam b'signon echad, all in the same style, midamnim olam hazeh l'mkom l'zman ha'chana. Describes this world as preparation. Of course, the famous story with the Gra, that they saw that the Gra was crying a few days before he passed away, and they asked him why he's crying. So the Gra said that in this world, for a few pennies, in those days it was cheaper, you could buy a pair of tzitzis, and then in the next world, all the money in the world is not going to get you anything. And you're stuck. Whatever you accomplish in this world is what you've accomplished. You have 120 years. Mesillas Yisharim quotes the pasuk in Gvuras Shmonim Shana, 80 years to accomplish what we can, and that's it. And then everything freezes. So that in Olam Haba we eat what we've prepared for. The famous lines, of course. The Mesillas Yisharim always says that he's not coming to say chidushim; he's going to emphasize the dvarim pshutim, which require the most chizuk. Ha'olam hazeh domeh leprosdar b'fnei olam haba. That olam hazeh is just a hallway to olam haba. Hayom la'sosam v'lolam achar la'sosam. Okay, so this becomes the governing theory in which zehirus and zrizus are all steps into preparing oneself la'olam haba. Now let's go back a little. Let's go back. We're going to come back to this Yisod and see how we could begin to instill this in us and what are some of the difficulties in instilling it in us. But I wanted to first show that this is the klal. You know, the chapter starts, Bever klal cholas adam ba'olamo. The punchline, if you will, the crunch, is in this line. In klolo shel davar is where the Ramchal crunches his Yisod. If you go back a little bit, the second paragraph in Perek Aleph, Bever Klal Chovas Adam Ba'olamo, he emphasizes what is the medium, what is the transportation, how do we get there, but he describes it in theological terms. In the second paragraph, he writes, Ukishitistakel Old Badavar Tira, if you look and think about this, Ki Ashlemus Amiti Hu Rak Hadvekus Bo Yisparei, is to be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when I became close and I felt closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's good for me. So of course, Rav Osai, this formulation fits in well with what we've pointed out up until now. And that is, for the Ramchal, the mistake that Shana Aleph boys make is, I've reached the Tachlis when I'm steiging and learning. So Ramchal says it's a big mistake. The way we understand the Ramchal, that's a very big mistake. Torah isn't even in this book. You have someone who's sitting and learning, and he's missed the Tachlis of Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That a person has to constantly ask whether he's feeling Dovek, whether he has... And I want to use the word feeling, but at the same time modify it. I want to say in two different ways. Number one, whether he's feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, whether he is theologically close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just because he's feeling close doesn't necessarily mean that he is close. The question is whether he's really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that question has to be asked, not only in terms of whether he feels. Avodas Hashem is not only the high of Lichadodi, it's not only the high of Anigin. That's also part of it. But a person has to ask himself theologically in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, where is he holding? Then he quotes another pasuk, Ve'omer, and there's another pasuk, Achas sho'altim yeis Hashem osav, okay? Shifti v'yeis Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachzos b'noam Hashem ulevaker be'echolob, quoting two psukim in Tehillim. Of course, it's well known that the Gros said that the Mesillas Yesharim is the most important Musar Sefer, and he said that the Mesillas Yesharim, there isn't an extra letter. Every single part of the Ramchal's Sefer says Darsheni. Everything needs to be expounded upon. So we could ask, why did the Mesillas Yesharim emphasize two psukim? Why did he say, number one, Vanikir Vasalukim Litov? And then he quotes the other pasuk, Ve'omer, and there's another pasuk, Achash Altimeis Hashem. Why does he need, what's the emphasis in bringing in the second pasuk of Achas Sho'alti? So I think that the Ramchal is telling us the following. For a person to ask whether he's feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether he's really theologically close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be dependent on the other din. And that is that he has to be Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayei. A person that is not Zocha to be connected to B'Veis Hashem, that person will never attain the full Madrega of Kirvas Elokim Litov. So on the one hand, he wants to emphasize that just sitting in the base of Medrash and pounding is not enough, because that could become a hollow experience, and we constantly have to be asking ourselves in Avodas HaNefesh, how are we doing in Kirvas Elokim Litov? How are we doing in terms of Dveikus? Meidach Gisa, it can't be divorced from Shifti B'Veis Hashem. Why? Because Shifti B'Veis Hashem is the place where you get the compass of what is called Kirvas Elokim Litov. There are people in India that also feel that they're close to God. What defines what is called Kirvas Elokim Litov? So the Beis Hashem is what gives us the compass in what is called Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's not called Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For just one example that comes to mind, on the prohibition and the death of Nadav Aviu, because they went into the Mikdash Shisuya Yayin, that they had drunk wine. So Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch writes, the reason they were put to death is they were using an artificial substance in creating Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Hirsch points out that Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't come from an artificial substance, that it has to come entirely from within. And that's why the halacha is that Rav is not allowed to pask in the shayla b'shesuya yayin, the Kohen's not allowed to do avoda b'shesuya yayin, and so on. But the person will say, no, if I can have a l'chaim, it makes me feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Beis Hashem, the halacha, defines what is called the Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's not called the Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't always trust our feelings in terms of defining what the Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So that's why the Ramchal possibly is bringing down these two psukim. It's well known that the Sfas Emes pointed out that these two psukim demands of us something that's not easy. And that is that it seems, the Sfas Emes asks, that the pasuk seems to contradict itself. On the one hand, the Ramchal doesn't conclude the pasuk, but the pasuk concludes, Shifti veis Hashem kol yimei chayai lachzos b'noam Hashem ulevaker be'echolov. To sit, to dwell in the house of Hashem, to gaze upon the Noam Hashem, that might also relate to this idea, lachzos, we won't elaborate on that now, ulevaker be'echolov, and to visit his heichal. So it's a stira in the pasuk. Either it's Shifti veis Hashem, or it's levaker be'echolov. Which one is it? So Sas Emes says the key to this. If you can't text me, okay? You listening? The key over here to Avodas Hashem is the following. The key to Avodas Hashem is, number one, that a person feels that he is Levaker Becholo, yet at the same time Beshifti. What does that mean? That means that a person has to have two things. On the one hand, he has to be constantly Beveis Hashem, but we all know that in the beginning, when we start out, it's very, very exciting. And this is something that Shana Bek guys struggle with a lot. And Shana Aleph was really, really exciting. The first 5 months was really exciting. And they spent the whole summer being excited about coming back to yeshiva. And then yeshiva is good, but not great. What happened? Yeshiva is good, but not great. What happened was that in their minds, there was a certain amount of excitement in the beginning of their learning. And they expected that that initial excitement is going to continue with them throughout. On the one hand, the person is supposed to strive for that, that there has to be a certain amount of bigur. On the other hand, it's a day in and day out avoda. So we daven that we should have a certain level of excitement, but at the same time, it also is shifty. So the Sfas Emes says that a person is supposed to think how to try to recreate that, on one hand, that initial excitement, yet at the same time, that shifty b'beis Hashem. So that's an avoda, a separate avoda, but it's something we should think about, that if there were things that created that initial excitement that we've forgotten about, to rekindle them, yet at the same time to realize that the excitement of the novice is not the real avodas Hashem. The real avodas Hashem is the olas tamid, or asuya bar sinai, is the constant avoda, and that constant avoda is what stays with us forever. Otherwise it falls away. Now let's go back to the clock. He says, number one, there's the dveikus. The dveikus is through ultimately creating that place in Olam Haba. Meidach Gisa, he says, we have to balance the shifty and the luvakim. Now I want to point out in very practical terms something I alluded to in the Sichas Musar, that I think when the Talmidim read the Klal Shel Davar, they don't realize exactly what a challenge it is for our generation. We mentioned that it's clear in the world today that the ability to imagine, the ability of a person to go beyond himself, is extremely, extremely difficult. And that difficulty is, we pointed out that you ask college professors, that you ask them about the ability for people to write today, they say people don't have the same ability to write. Why don't they have the same ability to write? What's lacking? What's changed is that there's a certain sense of imagination that's been lost today. If you think about it, you think about the way your great-great-grandparents dreamed about what Yerushalayim was, so there's a certain power of imagination that when you get there, so then it becomes just another piece of reality. And once the imagination is lost, the ability to imagine is lost, then many components of the spiritual personality, which exists in literature as well, many components of the spiritual personality is missing. Now that is part of the challenge of Klal Shel Davar. All of that is part of this challenge of Klal Shel Davar. How? How is that part of the challenge of Klal Shel Davar? Because it's very hard for us to look above and beyond and to realize that there's something as a Bechina of Olam Haba. Something that's very, very hard. Especially when we could travel to every single part of the world that people speak about. So that notion is extremely, extremely hard for a person to internalize. Hence, so many people, the millions of people that are running around in Manhattan today, millions of them are stuck in their metzius because they don't have this ability to imagine. They've lost that entirely, that koach hadimyon. And that creates two spiritual forms of paralysis. Number one is they can't believe that they're more than they are today because they are what they are, and that's it. They can't imagine themselves becoming a god of the Torah. They're stuck in that reality. And number two, this creates another spiritual crisis that we didn't speak about before, is the notion of Olam Haba becomes entirely mufka from them. becomes entirely impossible. Why? Because they could only believe what they see and feel. Mark Twain didn't have that problem. But this generation has that problem, has that difficulty. But we know, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Zelu Mazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this opposite each other. In other words, every difficulty that we have in the world, everything positive in the world, everything negative in the world, is constantly balancing itself out. So even though on the one hand, let's say the ability to travel has inhibited the Koach HaDimyon, on the other hand, there's something else that also should be poteach the Koach HaDimyon. And that is what technology at the same time has shown us today, is that the more and more we understand the universe, and the more and more we can transport ourselves in the universe becomes more and more mysterious. In other words, once upon a time, even though people had to actualize the Koach HaDimyon, they thought that the world was a small place, the earth was flat, and the whole world was essentially the European and Middle Eastern continents. And that's it. Then Middle East, Europe and the Middle East. That was it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu slowly revealed to us that there's so much more in His world that we could actually fathom. And one of the most important pictures that exists from the last 50 years is the picture of the earth taken from the moon, where man began to realize how small he was. So on the one hand, in practical, and from the perspective of literature, and even in the perspective of Avodas Hashem, our power of imagination became limited, and the ability to think above and beyond Basherum Sham is very, very difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave us another koach. And that was a koach to realize that in the scheme of God's awesome world, we've only begun to understand a tiny bit of it. I'll show you how radical this idea is. I wouldn't say this on my own, but I saw Rav Soloveitchik quoted where he said that he would not be surprised if they found human life in another planet. He wouldn't be stunned at all, and it wouldn't create any theological problems for him. In other words, what emerges then from this idea is that there's so much, and the moment we took pictures of outer space, we realized there's so much in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world that we don't understand. So much that remains mysterious. So is it so hard to believe now? Is it so hard to believe that there's an ulterior dimension? We couldn't even believe that there was anything aside from Europe and the Middle East. Is it so hard to imagine that there's another dimension called Olam Haba? So, technology, by the way, this is not something that is new. In people looking at the Sefer Yisharim, you should know in this secular philosophical world, they've begun to speak about this a lot. And that is how much technology has changed the way man interacts with his world. And this is also an idea. These ideas in secular philosophy are also something that's extremely, extremely important in our Avodas Hashem. On the one hand, to realize the way the technological world has affected our Koach HaDimyon. On the other hand, also to realize that the way the technological world has exposed certain parts of the universe really enhances our avodah. The famous line from the Chafetz Chaim is when they came out with film, so the Chafetz Chaim said, once upon a time, people couldn't understand how it could be that Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to play back to them the picture of their whole life. And now, of course, for us, that's a davar pashut. It's actually a very scary thing. Many of the things, day in, day out things that we're doing, when we buy a coffee, when we read a newspaper, when we cross the street, the odds are there's someone who's watching us. So that's a pachad in terms of just beinat v'lechaber. What a pachad it is, beinat v'lemakom, that every single thing is the sefer nechtavim. So Chavetz Chaim said, now we can begin to appreciate that omen. So realize that in today's avodah, in today's universe, and these are things that could be we never thought about, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's world today, if we begin to look into it, introduces new challenges, but Me'idach Gisa substantiates so many of these things of dimensions that we never saw before. And all of that is part of what the Ramchal is discussing when Ramchal says a person has to make the cheshbon that olam hazeh domeh l'kolstos v'olam habo domeh l'shrach. Okay, on Wednesdays, because we